How are you doing this morning? Sorry, running a little bit late here. Well, this is, getting ready for Atlanta now is a team we're really not very familiar with, so we've had to, do a lot of digging and get caught up here. Fortunately, we have a little bit of extra time to do that, and I think we'll need it. I know we'll need it. They've done a great job. Coach Quinn, Thomas, have put together a very, very good football team. They're very explosive, tremendous playmakers on offense, very fast, and playmakers on defense, turn the ball over, create a lot of negative plays. It's just a solid team that's had a great year. They've kind of been on top there, wire to wire, and an impressive team to watch. So we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of things that we need to understand and how to play Atlanta, how to play them well, things that we're going to need to do well in this game are different from any game that we've played here in a little while. Played opponents had a little different style of play. These guys have a very good style. It's been a very successful style. So we have a lot to get ready for, a lot of work to do. It's good to be working this time of year. We're excited, ready to go, and we'll dig into it here, get on the field today, and start making some progress.
You guys all have four practices, it looks like, before you go to Houston. How much of will you be ready, like almost set it up that you'll be ready to play a game if that's the way it was, or is it like 50% of the game plan?
Yeah, that's somewhere between 50 and 100. That's somewhere in there. We'll be certainly more than halfway there, but there'll be some things that will be, particularly some situations that we'll be covering, in Houston. How exactly that'll break up, we'll just have to kind of see how it goes. I don't think we need to go to something until we have what we're doing right, just to be moving. So we'll just kind of see how these days go as to how far we get. But we won't get all the way. That we won't try to do that. But hopefully we'll have, a good chunk of it in and feel confident about what we're doing so we can kind of keep that part of it tuned up and then go into some new areas down there and make sure that we have those tied up too.
Is that a schedule that's evolved the way you kind of plan out and map out the way you're going to install and plan?
Yeah, we've done it a couple of different ways. We've traveled on different days. Now it's a little different schedule down there than what it was. We've had, 1 week Super Bowl. So I think each one's a little bit different and each team's a little bit different. So what's right for this team may or may not have been right for some other team. It's not like a set grid that we just match up to. We try to do what's best for the particular situation, the team we're playing, what areas we need to emphasize, maybe more in this game than possibly in another game like this, where just the emphasis points are different. So,
Bill, you mentioned style. What is it about their style that kind of caught your attention or intrigued you a little bit?
Well, they're very explosive offensively. I mean, every guy that gets a ball can score a touchdown from 80 yards away or more. Defensively, they have very good team speed. They've got, usually at least 9, if not 10 of the players on the field, sometimes all 11, I'd say are pretty fast. They got a couple big linemen that they use. They're good. But then there are times, when they only have one or two of them in there, and the other guys their ends are fast, linebackers are fast, secondary's fast. Sometimes they take out their big guys and put in a couple more fast guys, like Grady or, guys like that. I'm not saying they're like track guys, but they're for their position, they're fast, they're athletic, they're very hard to block in space and pass protection and things like that. So
how relevant was your preparation for the Seahawks game earlier this year, and maybe the Seahawks in the Super Bowl a few years ago, to facing this offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's there's some. I'd say these guys are different. I mean, it's the same, but it's different. Then they, you know, certainly the players are different. That's one big thing. But I'd say schematically, it's not quite the same. And certainly we wouldn't want to take it for granted that it is the same. I think that they've, you know, modified a few things or handled some things maybe a little bit differently than what we practiced against for Seattle earlier in the year. There's certainly carryover, Ben. I'm not saying that. It's not like it's two different systems. It's not, but I wouldn't say that it's, and you know, how Sherman plays it to the way Alford plays it is not quite the same, even though it's the same defense, or some of the calls are the same, I should say.
So much of football relies on communication, coach to player and player to player on the field. How much time in practice do you guys spend just on working on communication?
Every play. Every play. We'll, you know, we work with the noise home and away, depending on which side of the ball, you know, we feel that noise will be coming from. So, but, you know, we see different, but particularly against Atlanta offensively, you know, they have a lot of different formations and variations and personnel groups, and there's quite a bit of motion. So they force the defense to react and adjust to what they do, you know, more than most teams that we play. So that's challenging right there. Even if there was no noise whatsoever, then when you add crowd noise and long drives and guys getting a little bit tired or, you know, not as alert on the 10th play of the drive as on the first play of the drive, then that just stresses the communication a little bit more. So you start piling all those things together, a long drive, crowd noise, you know, degree of difficulty with formations and personnel groups and motion and those kind of things. Some of which we haven't seen before. I mean, they're going to have some looks that we're not going to be able to practice. They're probably drawn up. Coach Shanahan's probably drawn them up right now. You know, I don't know if he knows what they are yet. But once, you know, it'll be things that are designed, obviously, to give us a problem. And so the communication against this team is we get stressed on a lot of levels.
Some teams have their coordinators in the booth. You guys have both of them on the sideline. Does that make the communication easier when you have the coordinators being able to talk directly to guys as opposed to A to B to C, you know?
There's either way, we have communication with the booth that's important, and we have communication on the field that's important. I've done it both ways personally. There's advantages to one, there's advantages to the other. There are problems you have to solve if you're one place or the other. It's just a question of which ones you want to solve. Both can work. It's a lot of different ways to do it. It's just trying to find which one is best for the way that your team and your staff is set up, and that could certainly change. It's changed for me, you know, within the same organization. But you know, you move a couple people around, and maybe you feel it's advantageous to do it a little bit differently.
What's the advantage of having Josh and Matt on the sideline?
Well, again, it's everything. It's the combination of our entire staff and our coordinators and the players that we're working with, of, you know, how we feel like it's most efficient. But it could, you know, any of those could work, especially now where you can have a coach-to-quarterback communication from the press box. Let's say without that, there would just be another step from the coordinator making the call from the press box to the sideline, then the sideline making it into the signal caller. Now that step's been eliminated, but even with that step, I think it still was very doable. I mean, I did it, so it was definitely doable. That was back in the, you know, prehistoric days. Yeah. But.
Well, what do you like about Mohamed Sanu as a player?
He's big. He's tough. He's got great hands. He's tremendous hands. He's a great catch radius. He catches everything. He's a tough blocker. He's hard to tackle. He's an explosive player.
So you could see why Thomas and Scott would have interest in a player like that.
It would help any team. Yeah. There's not a team in the league that he wouldn't help.
You have to prepare for him to pass the ball. Obviously, he didn't do it this year, I don't think, Bill.
Yeah, sure. We know he can do it. I mean, and look, this is the kind of game where, you know, team could be working on a play like that, you know, all year and run out of games. So, you know, Or, I mean, it could be a lot of other plays, too. You know, a reverse, a pass, a double pass, a, some kind of gadget play. So, absolutely, the longer the season goes, I think the more you have to be prepared for those kind of plays because, again, if a team's been working on it, at some point they're probably going to use it, and the fewer games there are to call it. So, you know, if you've been working on a play all year, a lot of coordinators will, you know, might as well call it.
How hard is it to identify any tip to a play like that? Because obviously their design is to hide it to the last very second until they actually throw the ball.
Right. Well, any look, you could draw up any gadget play you want. I mean, in the end, it comes down to the basic fundamentals of your defense. So every defense is designed to defend the perimeter, to defend, you know, the deep balls, whether that's man-to-man or zone or four-man line, three-man line, yeah, two-man, whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, you can't defend an offensive formation without defending the perimeter of the formation, without defending the vertical element that, you know, the formation could bring. So defend the outside, defend deep, everything's in front of you. I mean, that's, you know, every defense has to have those elements to it. So who knows what you're going to be in? Who knows, you know, what play they're going to run that you haven't seen before? You just have to count on the sound fundamentals of the defense to handle all those things, which is, I mean, every time we put in a defense, that's the first thing we do is, you know, run strong, run weak, reverse, halfback pass, you know, passing game, four verticals, three verticals, you know, double moves, deep crossing routes, you know, make sure that those plays are handled by the assignments in the defense. If you're going to be light on something, you don't want to be light on those. You want to be light on something else. You don't want to be light on a, you know, on a seam route or on a post pattern or not have a run force guy if they run a reverse. I mean, it doesn't mean you have it done right every single time, but there's somebody that's responsible for it, and it's their job to make sure that they handle that responsibility based on, you know, however the play is designed.
Now, what specifically has made Matt Ryan elevate his game so much this year to where he performed, and how much did you pay attention to his Boston College career when he was here?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we had a good awareness of Matt here. I mean, he wasn't really – that wasn't a player that we were going to take. So he really wasn't a factor for us at that point in time. You know, his development, I think you'd have to talk to him or somebody at Atlanta about that. I mean, we, you know, we play him once every, you know, 3 or 4 years. So that's, you know, not really a guy that we see multiple times. But he's had a great career. He, again, does everything well. He handles the line of scrimmage well, gets the team in the right place, plays good in critical situations, you know, deep ball, intermediate throws, possession passes, red area. He's athletic. He can get out of some trouble. So there's really no weaknesses to his game. You know, he's a team player. He does the right thing for the team, puts his team in position to win. I mean, it's not much to not like about him.
The last time we were in the Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler was behind some very good players on the cornerback depth chart, Revis, Browner, Logan, and Kyle Arrington. Since that time, I think you'd probably agree he's at the top of it, or he's played a lot of football since then. Did you know that was possible or that he was capable of that, and it was just a result of he needed time to grow? Or was there a big jump that you saw from last Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, we put him on Antonio Brown in the opener in 2015. So, I mean, obviously there's been growth over a period of time. I don't think you know, go from one level of player to another in, you know, a few practices or a game or a half or whatever. I don't really think that's possible. But again, we thought that he, you know, had showed enough going into the 2015 season to, you know, that he would be our you know, guy that we'd match up against certain receivers. I don't want to say number one receivers, but again, it depends on who we're talking about here. But he's developed a lot since then, like any player would from year one to year three, barring some either setback or let's say, unusual circumstance. I mean, that's a big growth period for players.
And how impressed have you been with his, not just football growth, but personal growth, given his life?
Again, sure has. Yep. Long way from West Alabama. But, and that's absolutely true for Malcolm. And I'd say we have a lot of other players in that category. I mean, guys come into this league, and wherever they were, this is a huge jump on a number of levels, competitively, socially, economically, the attention that from the fans and the media and so forth. It's huge. Not everybody's from Alabama and Michigan and USC and those places. So some of those guys, and even the ones that come from there, it's still a huge jump for them. So it's a big part of big time in a professional player's career is that, making it the first year, but then that first to second or first to second to third, that's pretty much true for everybody.
Bill, 2 weeks to prepare. How does your game plan evolve leading up to this game?
How does it evolve?
How is it different with 2 weeks to prepare? Is it more of a working document, so to speak, leading up to this game?
I'd say it's the same as a normal week. It just spaced out a little bit more. So instead of 7 days, it's, call it 10. Like, we weren't on Monday where we would normally be on Monday because we didn't know who we were going to play. Normally, we know who the next opponent is, so all the work's done on that team. So we open the book on Monday morning. It's all there, adding in the game they just played the day before, let's call it, right? In this case, it wasn't, so we had to get all the information on Atlanta, and it took a while to compile all that. So then once that's done, we have a couple of days at the end of the week in Houston that are a little different than our normal 2 days before the game type. So we kind of get squeezed on one end or the other, and let's call it 10 days in the middle instead of six, or whatever, nine instead of six. So it's just six but spread out to we have to travel and there's some other obligations that just kind of, cut into a normal preparation time. But we have more time to do it. What was tough was the 1 week game, because then you have all that crammed into a normal week of preparation. When that happened, I was involved in that in 1990 when we played Buffalo when I was with the Giants. But we had played them in December. And then, of course, in 2001, we had played the Rams in the middle of the season. So that help that short week in terms of, from a coaching preparation standpoint.
Bill, what type of growth have you seen from Shaq Mason this year in his second season?
A lot. I mean, Shaq came to us from, an offense that probably couldn't be more different than ours. Shaq's a good player, smart, works hard, talented player, but from a technique and, I'd say, experience standpoint, things that he did were just couldn't be more different than what we do. So, that was a process. We actually played him at left guard, last year, the majority of the year. And then he played right guard at the, last few games, four or five games, whatever it was. Whereas this year he's been at right guard, which is where he played at Georgia Tech. He played right guard at Georgia Tech. So, that's a little bit different too, just footwork, hand placement, stance. It's not insurmountable, but it's just different. So I think when you combine all those things in his first year, he did a tremendous job for us last year. He did a great job, but I would say this year, keeping him on the right side, second year in our system, second year of seeing again defenses that were a lot different than what he saw based on the offense that they ran, that Coach Johnson ran at Georgia Tech, all that plus a good off season of training. As opposed to, like all rookies, working out for the combine. Well, now you're working out for a team and a season that you know exactly what's required of you because you were there the year before. And I think all those things played into, his development, like they do for most guys in that first to second year.
I was wondering, you have both your sons working for the team this year. I know Steve was with the team in 2014, but what does it mean to be able to go into this game with two of your sons a part of the organization?
Special. Yeah, special. unlike any other, really. I mean, it's obviously great to have Steve, but also, you know, have Brian, too. That, I mean, it's special.
When you talked about the varying formations, personnel groups, different things that Kyle Shanahan does, and the possibility or likelihood that you're going to see something they haven't shown all year. In addition to identifying that as a defender, how important is it to immediately understand the concept behind what they're doing?
That's the most important thing, is recognize the concept. Right. I mean, look, they're not going to come in here and run, you know, 60 new plays. They're going to run the plays they've been running all year, but dress them up differently, put a different, you know, look or emotion or a combination, and try to make it look a little bit different than anything we've seen, or maybe something that they think will give us a problem to adjust to, and then do the things that they've been doing. Now, you know, I'm not saying there won't be, you know, a handful of new plays in there, but I mean, look, the way they move the ball and score points, I mean, they're not going to come in and, you know, put in a new offense this week. I mean, they've had so much success with what they're doing. They're going to keep doing it, but make it hard for the defense to recognize, oh, this is the play, and then by the time you recognize it, the play's over. You know, they're spotting the ball, and it's like, oh, that's what they'll, you know, just you have a second late reacting to that. So that's, they do a great job of that. They do what they do. They do it well. They really know what they're doing. But defensively, it takes you that extra split second to recognize it, and then sometimes you just, you know, a step too late, and they got you. And then the next play, it's, you know, the same thing, you know, another version of the same thing. So in addition to that, they have very good players, and guys like Freeman, you know, Coleman, Sanu, Jones, you know, all of them. They get the ball in their hands, and what looks like a 7-yard gain, it could be 47. So their ability to make yards with the ball in their hands, break tackles, Coleman's case, outrun people. I mean, I don't know how many times we've seen guys have a good angle on him, and it looks like, okay, they're going to intersect here. They don't. He just outruns them, you know, and they're chasing them, and now it's, you know, 15, now it looks like 35. So they get a lot of yards on the ability of their skill players to gain yards after they get them into space.
Are there any elements of Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan's scheme you see to carry over a triple down?
Yeah, absolutely. You see the stretch play. Number one. They boot, yeah, absolutely. They boot. But they run the stretch, and I mean, they got backs that can run it. So they do a great job with that. And if you can't defend that play, however they do it, and they have a lot of different ways of doing it. They can do it out of 11, 12 tight ends together, no tight end, one tight end, motion and tight end, and, you know, on and on. But if you can't stop that play, it's going to be a long day.
Well, how much do they use Freeman and Coleman together?
Yeah, it's usually one or the other.
Bill, so-called gadget plays like the flea flicker last week, the Edelman to Amendola touchdown, the Ravens, even James Devlin scored a touchdown. Are you holding on to those plays all year long for the playoffs because they haven't been seen yet? And how do you decipher if or when to use a play like that? Even Vrabel caught a TD pass in the touchdown in Houston back in 03.
Right. Well, I mean, in Mike's case, I mean, he was part of our goal line offense. It was a standard formation. It was a standard play. We ran the ball just as much as we threw it. And, I mean, the play we threw to him was just a crossing pattern. I mean, I wouldn't call it a gadget play at all. So, other plays, you know, again, I don't want to get into a whole game planning thing here, but, you know, you, regardless of whether the play is a gadget play or not a gadget play, I don't even know what a gadget play is. I mean, is there a versus gadget play? I mean, every team in the league runs them. So is that, I don't know. You know, like, where do you want to draw the line? We've all seen the flea flicker that we ran. We've all seen that before, too. It's not like, you know, nobody ever seen that play run. So, you know, again, where do you draw the line? For us, defensively, you know, all those plays fall into a certain category, and there's a certain responsibility that has to be handled in order to stop the play. Offensively, you know, you run plays that you think will work, whether it's what you consider a gadget play or whether it's what you consider the most basic play in football. If it's a good play, then it's when you want to run. So when do we run them? How do we run them? I mean, the answer is really the same to every play. In situations against looks that we think they'll be successful against. I mean, I know it's hard to imagine. Like, we don't really want to call a bad play. Like, that's not the idea. So when that happens, then either we've put the players in a situation where they can't be successful because the look or the defense or the play or whatever it was just matches up poorly against what we had called, or we don't execute it properly and there's a breakdown somewhere, and that's what happens. So, but you know, we don't have intentionally any of those. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to have good plays.
Bill, you talked a little bit about the differences 1 week and 2 weeks having to prepare and everything. What are some of the things you say we need to get done before we go, before we leave the team? Is there, have you learned over the years the most important things here that you need to get done before you go?
Well, again, I think whatever point you get to, you get to. If that's, not to put a percentage on it, but 60%, 70%, I don't know, whatever the number is, whatever you have, you have. I think, where you never want to be in game planning is you work on something, but you don't really have it. So then what do you have? You've worked on it, you've covered it, but you don't really have it. Well, you might as well go back to square one and start all over again. So I think the best thing to do is wherever we are, we're actually there, legitimately on a preparation, not just what we checked off a box, but we really don't have it. So it'd be important for us this week to get the things done that we are trying to get done. If we don't get all the way through what we thought we might get through, that's not nearly as big a problem as making sure that what we do cover, we actually have it right.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you.